Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program. So very happy and blessed to be here with you today as we finish out this Respect Life Month, which is also dedicated to the Most Holy Rosary. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, a couple shows back, we did a program detailing some of the appalling and scandalous things going on within the Pontifical Academy for Life, an institute that was established by Pope St. John Paul II in February 1994 to advance the Church's mission to foster respect for the inherent dignity of every single person, beginning from the moment of conception until natural death. Sadly, since that Pro-Life to the Max program, even more disturbing news involving controversial appointments of members to the Academy has been exposed. Adding insult to injury is the fact that such new revelations have occurred during this Respect Life Month and around the feast of Pope St. John Paul II. We're going to talk about the abortion supporters that have been permitted to infiltrate the Pontifical Academy for Life in order to encourage you to commit to praying for this organization and its leaders. But first things first, let's begin in prayer. O Mary, bright dawn of the new world, Mother of the living, to you do we entrust the cause of life. Look down, O Mother, upon the vast numbers of babies not allowed to be born, of the poor whose lives are made difficult, of men and women who are victims of brutal violence, of the elderly and the sick killed by indifference or out of misguided mercy. Grant that all who believe in your Son may proclaim the gospel of life with honesty and love to the people of our time. Obtain for them the grace to accept that gospel as a gift ever new, the joy of celebrating it with gratitude throughout their lives, and the courage to bear witness to it resolutely, in order to build together with all people of goodwill the civilization of truth and love to the praise and glory of God, the Creator and Lover of life. Amen. Pope St. John Paul II, pray for us. And let's go now to this week's In the News. In an attempt to rally voters in the upcoming elections, President Joe Biden has made a promise to make legalized abortion a top priority in his administration. In a recent abortion rights-focused speech at a Democratic National Committee, Biden said that if Democrats elect more senators and keep control of the House in the midterms, then he would make abortion a top issue. The court got Roe right nearly 50 years ago, and I believe the Congress should codify Roe once and for all, Biden said. If we can control both the House and Senate, here's the promise I make to you and the American people. The first bill I will send to Congress will be to codify Roe v. Wade. And when Congress passes it, I'll sign it in January, 50 years after Roe was first decided the law of the land, Biden added. The bill that Biden and the Democrats are hoping to get through is deceptively named the Women's Health Protection Act. The legislation would make abortion legal in all states for any reason up to birth, funded by taxpayer dollars, and it would eliminate all state restrictions on abortion, including parental consent. It would also threaten legal protections for medical personnel who refuse to participate in the killing of unborn children. Brian Birch, president of Catholic Vote, responded to Biden's remarks saying, "Catholics are appalled by the unprecedented abortion extremism pursued by the nation's second Catholic president. While Americans struggle with record inflation, the president of the United States has nothing to offer but a pledge to expand the right to violently destroy innocent unborn children up until birth and for any reason. We need church leaders to step up and make clear that no Catholic can support candidates or policies that would make America one of the most extreme abortion nations in the world," Birch said. And in remarks made at a recent Eucharistic symposium in Arlington, Virginia, Archbishop Charles Chaput said that President Joe Biden is not in communion with the Catholic faith and that any priest who provides communion to the president participates in his hypocrisy. At the conference, Chaput spoke about American Catholics and their 200-year struggle to fit into mainstream American culture. "We succeeded," the Archbishop said, "but in the process, we've been digested and bleached out by the culture rather than leavening it in a fertile way with a distinctive Catholic witness. Mr. Biden's apostasy on the abortion issue is only the most repugnant example. He's not alone. But in a sane world, his unique public leadership would make or should make public consequences unavoidable, Chaput stated. The Eucharistic Symposium was held at the Cathedral of St. Thomas More in Arlington on Saturday, October 22nd, the feast of Pope St. John Paul II. Finally, 19 unborn children were violently killed by abortion at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood this past Thursday. Over half of the women came from Kentucky and Tennessee to end the lives of their unborn children. This fall's 40 Days for Life campaign is winding down, but lots of help is still needed until Sunday, November 6th. You can sign up to make reparation for all the killing that goes on there by going to 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington. And that's your weekly in the news. I gave them your word, and the world hated them because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world, and I consecrate myself for them, so that they always may be consecrated in truth. That passage from John chapter 17, verses 14 through 19, is taken from what is called Jesus' last discourse, right before he is arrested, tried, and sentenced to his horrific passion and death on the cross. Since the 16th century, this colloquy found in John chapter 17 has been called the high priestly prayer of Jesus. In it, Christ speaks as intercessor, with words addressed directly to the Father. The Savior's prayer is one of petition for both his immediate and future disciples. Christ knew the difficulty that his followers would have of trying to be in the world but not of the world, and so he petitioned the Father to keep them from deceit by consecrating them in the truth. Well, one of the many ways that the church has tried to be in the world but not of it has been to establish academic and cultural institutions that bring together experts in certain fields to discuss issues of relevance to the church and the world grounded in the truth. Because many new threats to human life were presenting themselves due to rapid technological advances within society, Pope St. John Paul II founded the Pontifical Academy for Life in 1994 with a desire to bring the good news of the gospel of life to the world. In the motu proprio Vitae Mysterium, which established the Academy, John Paul II wrote that the new Pontifical Institute has the specific task to study and provide information and training about the principal problems of law and biomedicine pertaining to the promotion and protection of life, especially in the direct relationship they have with Christian morality and the directives of the Church's magisterium. Venerable Jerome Lejeune, a French pediatrician and geneticist who opposed the use of prenatal testing for the purposes of carrying out elective abortions, was chosen as the Academy's first president. Sadly, just a few weeks after its founding, Lejeune died of lung cancer, but not before managing to draft the Academy's first bylaws and a declaration to be signed by members of the Academy, stating that before God and men, we bear witness that for us, every human being is a person, and that from the moment the embryo is formed until death, it is the same human being which grows to maturity and dies. As we mentioned on the last program that we did on the Pontifical Academy for Life, no major reforms to the institution had taken place until 2016. In that year, Pope Francis approved new statutes for the Institute, which went into effect on January 1, 2017, for a 5-year period. They are set to expire at the end of this year, 2022. In the changes, the pro-life declaration written by Lejeune was dropped, and membership in the Academy was changed from a lifetime term to a renewable 5-year period. The new regulations also state that members appointed by the Pope can be of any religion, though they should promote and defend the principles regarding the value of life and dignity of the human person, interpreted in a way that conforms to the magisterium of the Church. The bylaws also declare that membership can be revoked in the case of a public and deliberate action or statement manifestly contrary to said principles or seriously offensive to the dignity and credibility of the Catholic Church and the Academy itself. Members can be clergy, religious, or laity, and are chosen for their expertise in law and bioethics. Furthermore, members are categorized in one of four ways. Ordinary and honorary members are chosen by the Pope, and corresponding members and young researchers who must be under 35 are selected by the Academy's president and governing council. Archbishop Vincenzo Paglia was appointed by Pope Francis to head the Academy on August 15, 2016. Well, since the installation of a new president and new regulations for the Pontifical Academy for Life, many controversies have arisen, especially the revelation that some of its members actually support legalized abortion, euthanasia and assisted suicide, and contraception. Archbishop Paglia has defended these appointments, saying that the Church needs to be able to enter into dialogue with persons who do not share our Catholic belief and commitment. Sadly, the firestorm of controversy with the Pontifical Academy for Life has only grown more out of control, as abortion, euthanasia, and contraception advocates continue to be appointed, while faithful and worthy scientists, researchers, and theologians are left out. This past October 15th, the Feast of the Great Reformer of the Carmelites, St. Teresa of Avila, the Vatican announced the appointments of seven new members to the Pontifical Academy for Life. One of the most contentious nominations was that of a highly influential atheist economist who was very vocal of her support for abortion, Mariana Mazzucato. Mazzucato is reportedly admired by Bill Gates and is consulted by U.S. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren, all staunch abortion supporters. Edward Penton, a highly reputable reporter who's been covering the Vatican for years, has been leading the way in exposing the unsettling fact that Pope Francis has been appointing academics who oppose church teachings on the sanctity of human life to an institution dedicated to defending it. Penton, joined by other Catholic media organizations, reported how Mazzucato has been tweeting and retweeting pro-abortion statements, especially those that concern the U.S. Supreme Court's overturning of Roe and Casey. As one example out of many, back in June, Mazzucato tweeted, "So good," in response to a video of a liberal commentator ranting on and on about how Christians are dictating how women should live their lives when it comes to abortion and contraception. Catholic professor at Princeton University, Robert George, told the Catholic news agency that he was disturbed by the appointment of Mazzucato. "The Pontifical Academy for Life exists to advance the Church's mission to foster respect for the profound, inherent, and equal dignity of each and every member of the human family, beginning with the precious child in the womb," Professor George said. "Either one believes in this mission or one does not. If one does not, then why would one wish to be a part of the Pontifical Academy? And why would someone with appointment authority appoint someone to the Academy? I can think of no explanation that is not shocking and scandalous," Professor George added. Well, in response to the intensifying criticism, Pontifical Academy for Life President Archbishop Paglia doubled down on the justification for the appointment, telling Catholic News Services that since poverty, inequality, and economic systems kill millions of people every year and threaten the dignity of many more, Pope Francis and the Academy wanted the expertise of a brilliant economist like Mazzucato to contribute to discussions on economic policies. And in the words of Archbishop Paglia, "All members, including Mazzucato, have at heart the value of human life in their area of expertise. They are not all Catholics and do not profess all the tenets of the Catholic faith," the Archbishop said. "And we know there are differences on the level of ethics, but they defend life in its entirety," he stated. Archbishop Paglia also told CNS that even though Mazzucato's tweets may have been pro-choice, they were not pro-abortion. How very sad this is, to have church leaders adopting the language and rhetoric of the abortion movement. From his statements, it sounds like Archbishop Paglia is content to allow members to believe that it is perfectly fine to say that women should have a choice on whether or not to kill their unborn child, and that even though members may not agree with the Church's teaching that the unborn may not be murdered, at least they support life and dignity in other ways, and that is enough to outweigh the millions of unborn children slaughtered every year in the womb. Such thinking is nonsense. It's not Catholic. It's not of God. Pope St. John Paul II made it very clear in his encyclical, The Gospel of Life, writing, "It is impossible to further the common good without acknowledging and defending the right to life, upon which all the other inalienable rights of individuals are founded and from which they develop." If you can't understand and accept the science and reasoning behind why it is wrong to murder an unborn child, you're in no position to be giving expert advice on any other rights or attempts to further the common good. It's very simple. These appointments are very troubling, and there is a need to intensify our prayers and penances. Sorrowfully, there's more bad news. At a public event at Jesuit Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles that took place on Columbus Day, October 12th, another member of the Pontifical Academy for Life voiced his sentiments that abortions should be legal up to the point when an unborn baby can feel pain. In his lecture, Roberto Del Oro, a moral theology professor at the aforementioned university, criticized the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision, saying that in the potential conflict between a woman's claim to autonomy and a state's right to determine the future of her pregnancy, the Dobbs decision sides with the latter over the former, rejecting any space of personal liberty for women, even in cases of rape or incest. Del Oro, who was actually appointed to the Pontifical Academy for Life in 2015, but only recently made a full member on October 15th, had organized the panel discussion entitled "Confronting the Dobbs Decision, a Conversation about the Legality of Abortion." Del Oro himself, as well as two other abortion supporters at Loyola, were the speakers. I submit that the ability of the fetus to feel pain represents the point at which the legal right to choice ought to end, Del Oro stated during the discussion, calling his position a compromise. Here again, we have complete and utter rubbish coming from someone who is held up as an expert and who is a member of a Catholic institution dedicated to upholding and pursuing the right to life of every human being. Well, first of all, scientists can't even agree on the point when an unborn child can feel pain. Some say it happens as early as 8 weeks. Others say 16, and still others say not until 27 weeks in utero. If you're going to make pain the variable that permits abortion, then you better have a consensus on when that occurs. Or I tell you what, why not just anesthetize the unborn babes before you suck them up in a vacuum or dismember their tiny limbs? Or let's just continue this line of thinking along and propose that so long as any human being cannot feel pain, it's okay to murder them, especially if a person is dependent upon you and you simply feel that you cannot continue caring for them. You see, at the heart of all these crazy remarks is the belief that the zygote, the embryo, and the fetus are not equal to a born human being. They are lesser human beings and so have less dignity and value than those already born. And there are many within the church who believe this very thing. The Catholic News Agency has also been doing a fabulous job of reporting on these scandalous opinions that are being publicly given by members of the Pontifical Academy for Life. They actually reached out to Del Oro, giving him a chance to explain and clarify his remarks. Regrettably, his response was filled with those same buzzwords that we keep hearing repeatedly from those who wish to justify evil. Words like choice, pluralism, tolerance, dialogue. He told CNA that to impose a choice on women over matters that belong to their most intimate sphere threatens to compromise their integrity, bodily and otherwise, as persons. It also undermines basic requirements of tolerance toward the pluralism of moral perspectives within society. In matters of personal life, a democracy differs from a totalitarian regime because it maximizes rather than restricts a space of personal freedom for all citizens, including women, Del Oro said. The Loyola Marymount professor and member of the Pontifical Academy for Life also told CNA that the Academy is also in the process of becoming a more pluralistic kind of body. Such a statement reminds me of those bumper stickers that you see that say coexist. It's this fanciful notion that we should all just get along and respect each other's values and morals and everything will be good. a law professor from the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota, Teresa Collette, countered Deloro's line of thinking, saying, "By focusing on choice and pluralism, the professor ignores the fact that a democratic republic can only exist if it protects the most basic human rights, the most fundamental being the right to life, which at the very minimum must include the right to be protected against deadly violence of others. Neither pluralism nor the invocation of choice negates this basic political reality," Professor Collette said. "Just as pluralism does not justify state indifference to infanticide or child sacrifice, even when appearing in the guise of religious liberty, it does not justify permitting abortion," she said. I wish I could tell you that Roberto Deloro's nomination wraps up the bad news about recent appointments to the Pontifical Academy for Life, but it doesn't. Thrown into all of this scandal and controversy is yet another new papal appointee who is an avid abortion and contraception supporter, Professor Sheila Clough. Clough's biography consists of being the co-chair of the Nursing Now Global Campaign and the Global HIV Prevention Coalition. She's a member of the World Health Organization's External Review Group and chancellor of the Botswana Open University. She describes herself as a human rights activist and says she studied at a Catholic school and obtained a Master of Science in Nursing at the Catholic University of America. Avance Media, an organization that offers services including branding, ranking and rating, media relations, and public relations, has ranked Professor Clough among the 100 most influential African women, extolling her research and courses on gender issues and sexual and reproductive health and rights. Sadly, Clough's Twitter account is laden with support for contraception and legalized abortion, as well as calls for sexual and reproduction rights for all. You know, when I hear about these things that we've been discussing today, my heart and mind turn to Jeremiah's Book of Lamentations, chapter 1. It's a prayer that befits the church in these times. "How solitary sits the city, once filled with people. She who was great among the nations is now like a widow. She weeps incessantly in the night, her cheeks damp with tears. Her friends have all betrayed her and become her enemies. Her foes have come out on top. Her enemies are secure, because the Lord has inflicted her for her many rebellions. Her children have gone away, captive before the foe. Jerusalem remembers in days of wretched homelessness all the precious things she once had in days gone by. But when her people fell into the hands of the foe and she had no help, her foes looked on and laughed at her collapse. Look, O Lord, at my misery, how the enemy triumphs. The foe stretched out his hands to all her precious things. She has seen the nations enter her sanctuary, those you forbade to come into your assembly." I fear many within the church, including a lot of our leaders, are not only in the world, but of the world. They belong to the world and are not consecrated in the truth. So, oh, how we must offer the sacrifice that our Lord made and the blood he shed to the Eternal Father so that Christ's modern-day apostles and disciples may be consecrated in the truth. And we can unite our own suffering, sorrows, tears, and penances to our Lord's, because something has to give. There are many within the church throughout the world who are scandalized and hurting over grave problems within both the church and the world, of which these recent appointments to the Pontifical Academy for Life are just a part of. Many are speaking out and calling attention to the difficulties. And I wanted to end with some remarks made by a leading Catholic Spanish physician in an article entitled, "Academy for Life, I Can't Remain Silent Anymore." Dr. Jose Maria Castelvi, President Emeritus of the International Federation of Catholic Medical Associations, recently voiced some harsh criticism of the continued appointments of abortion, contraception, and euthanasia advocates, who are just the opposite of what Pope St. John Paul II, who founded the Academy for Life, would have wanted. In the October 19th write-up, Castelvi warned that what we've been seeing goes against what is reasonable for the good of the Pilgrim Church on this earth. Years ago, the former president of the International Federation of Catholic Medical Associations had worked with the Pontifical Academy for Life on many occasions as the two organizations collaborated, organizing joint conferences of a very high scientific level. Those were times when, leaving aside legitimate academic or organizational discussions, both its presidents and all its members defended human life, he said. He went on to say that induced abortion is an offense against God, mothers, children, and medicine. It's anti-medicine. It can never be accepted or promoted, he said. Castelvi praised the overturning of Roe v. Wade here in the U.S., stating that it will help reverse the scourge of abortion. It's not everything, and not everything is won, but we should still be celebrating it, he said. We must try to dialogue with those who support the destruction of intrauterine life and attract them to the cause of the culture of life, but they cannot be offered a platform to spread their ideas. They already have too many in the secular world, and with an overwhelming majority, he wrote. In the article, he also pointed out how contraceptives and euthanasia do not really help the problems they purport to solve. What is needed are the resources for teaching married couples about fertility awareness programs using what nature has already given to us. And the end of life should always be accompanied by the family, a religious minister, and good palliative care, he added. At the end of his piece, Castelvi invited all Catholics to pray for the Holy Father and all those who advise him, especially the president of the Pontifical Academy for Life, Archbishop Paglia. We Christians have to speak out, but we also have to pray, he stated. In June of 1981, the Blessed Virgin Mary reportedly began appearing regularly to several children in the town of Medjugorje. Since that time, it's been estimated that somewhere around 30 million pilgrims have come to that little town located in southwest Bosnia, with many returning to the faith. Medjugorje has not been without controversy and its share of detractors, but the Holy See has allowed pilgrimages to take place there, provided that they don't present the reported apparitions as approved by the Church. As with all alleged supernatural events, it will take much time to sort through everything to determine the final status of what has and still is going on there. With all that said, I want to close by reading what Our Lady is claimed to have said during her monthly message to a seer, which took place on October 25th. It was a stark message, but fitting in this Respect Life month that is dedicated to the Most Holy Rosary. Dear children, the Most High permits me to be with you and to be joy for you and the way in hope, because mankind has decided for death. That is why he sent me to keep instructing you that without God, you do not have a future. Little children, be instruments of love for all those who have not come to know the God of love. Witness joyfully your faith and do not lose hope in a change of the human heart. I am with you and am blessing you with my motherly blessing. Thank you for having responded to my call. The message epitomizes the spiritual battle going on right now between a culture of life and a culture of death. As it intensifies, we must persevere in being joyful witnesses to the gospel of life, speaking the truth in love. We must never lose hope, and we must turn all the more confidently to our Heavenly Mother and her rosary. For as she told us at Fatima, pray the rosary every day in order to obtain peace for the world and the end of the war, for she alone can be of any avail. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.